Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today on our Capitol Report, hear what's at the top of the agenda for the new Congress that's convened this week with Republicans in charge of both houses. We'll have the latest on the Keystone Pipeline controversy and the price some House members are now paying for their votes against the House Speaker. Then on our local government report, hear about some major issues on the agenda this week for planning groups in Lakeside and Boulevard, including several controversial energy projects planned across East County. We'll have details about a new state law that gives undocumented immigrants the right to have driver's licenses. And on our crime beat report, we'll tell you about a bizarre assault on deputies in Rancho San Diego using an unusual weapon. Now, if you need help to file your income tax returns, we'll have some good news for you. We'll be telling you about some places where you can get free assistance in our region. We also have a warning from the FDA about grave dangers from consuming powdered caffeine. And parents, this is something that you'll want to warn your kids about, so stay tuned. Our newsmaker interviews today are with the San Diego Farm to School program, here to tell us how they're helping bring fresh, healthy, and locally grown foods into public schools here in East County and across the region. On the second half of our show today, our Destination East County team will tell you all about some events coming up, from the trout opener at Santee Lakes for fishing fans to a performance by the Martin Luther King Choir as part of the Lemon Grove concert series. If your New Year's resolution is to get some exercise, trim up, or stay fit, we'll be telling you about some free fitness classes at county libraries, as well as how to find information on programs and hikes at county parks. We'll be replaying an interview also with the High Tide Band right here in East County. And then on Green Scene, you'll learn why the federal government is considering granting endangered species status to monarch butterflies. So stay tuned for all these stories and more on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. This is Miriam Raftery with a Capitol Report from East County Magazine. House Speaker John Boehner has been reelected to the post, but the vote was not unanimous. Boehner has faced a challenge from the ultra-conservative Tea Party wing of his Republican Party. 24 voted against Speaker Boehner, the largest defection ever in a House Speaker election. Republicans now have a strong 246-seat majority in the House of Representatives, but the leadership battle shows that the GOP is not a united front. Speaker Boehner, meanwhile, wasted no time extracting his revenge, ousting two members who voted against him off of the House Rules Committee, including one who had challenged him for the Speaker position. In the Senate, Senator Mitch McConnell from Kentucky is the new majority leader as Republicans take control with a 54-46 majority over Democrats. But Democrats still have enough votes to muster a filibuster in the Senate, and with Democratic President Barack Obama in the White House through 2016, the president can use his veto power to block measures that he views as extremist.
The new Congress convened this week with Republicans now controlling both the Senate and the House. The Republican leadership has announced that one of its first priorities will be to pass a controversial Keystone Pipeline bill. A vote is expected as early as Friday. But the White House press secretary issued a statement Tuesday indicating that President Barack Obama will veto the bill. The Keystone Pipeline would transport tar sands from Canada across the U.S. Midwest to the Gulf of Mexico, across First Nation Rosebud Sioux Reservation land. Canada vows to take the land by eminent domain. The Sioux say essentially, over my dead body. Environmentalists oppose the project due to the massive amount of carbon that would be released by mining tar sands, an impact so severe that NASA scientist James Hansen has said it would be game over for climate change. Pollution from pipeline leaks or ruptures is another concern. But Republicans say the pipeline is needed to produce jobs and energy. The oil industry has lobbied heavily for the bill, making massive political contributions on Capitol Hill. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine's Local Government Report. There are some hot agenda items coming up before local boards in East County during this first week of the new year. Lakeside's Community Planning Group meets on Wednesday, January 7th at 6:30 p.m. at the Lakeside Community Center. Planners will hear input on the controversial OCI Lakeside Solar Project proposed in El Monte Valley. In addition, the county's sanitation department will present a presentation on upcoming sewer rate changes. And then on December 14th at 6:30, Lakeside's planners have scheduled a scoping meeting in the same location on the Lake Jennings Marketplace Environmental Impact Report. The owner proposes to convert condominiums to a commercial center on the south side of Old Highway 80. If they gave prizes for the busiest agenda in East County, no doubt the Boulevard Planning Group would win. At its meeting on Thursday, January 8th at 7 p.m. in the Boulevard Fire Station, county staff will present Soitec Solar's Environmental Impact Report for Soitec's four industrial-scale projects proposed on over 3,000 acres. The county's groundwater geologist will make the presentations and discuss alternatives, also answering questions. A lively discussion is expected, given that Soitec Solar has a precarious financial situation and plummeting stock prices. Boulevard planners will also hear a presentation from the Border Patrol on construction of a new checkpoint on Interstate 8 and how that could impact traffic. In addition, planners will discuss the Desert Renewable Energy Conservation Plan proposed to impact over 2 million acres of public and private lands. Public comments on the environmental documents are open until February 23rd. Boulevard residents will also hear an update on a $100 million lawsuit filed against Boulevard's planning group and the county by entities related to developer Greg Lansing. Other agenda items include NextEra's proposed Tacumba Solar Project, the Chapman Ranch Solar Project, SDG&E's Eco Substation, updates on Thule Wind, a proposed Rough Acres Ranch Campground and Conference Center, an appeal of the county's wind energy ordinance, and litigation related to Sempra's cross-border high-voltage transmission line.
Starting January 1st, California has begun issuing special driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants. Across San Diego, lines formed as immigrants stepped up to apply for the new licenses, which are valid only for driving and are not valid for use as a federal ID, such as applying for a passport. A total of 10 states now allow licenses for undocumented immigrants. Under the new law, Assembly Bill 60, immigrants need only provide proof of identification, a thumbprint, and California residence, such as a rental lease or utility bill. They must also pass a written test on driving rules, which is available in several languages. However, the driving test will be given only in English. Advocates argue that the undocumented immigrants are already driving to go to work, take children to school, or for other activities, though at risk of fines if found driving without a license. By requiring licenses, the state can assure that drivers have insurance and know the rules of the road. That helps protect public safety and also allows the state to collect fees for the new licenses. The Department of Motor Vehicles has hired hundreds of new employees to meet demand, since as many as 1.4 million applicants are expected. The DMV is also opening on Saturdays to handle driver's license applications. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
This is Ed Moreno with a Crime Beat Report. A man who threatened the lives of sheriff's deputies and hurled metal objects at them is now under arrest. Robert Kazin, who resides on Greenwick Place in the Cottonwood neighborhood of unincorporated El Cajon, called the sheriff's department early on January 6th and said he would kill any law enforcement officers who came to his home, according to Sergeant Carla Taft. Deputies from the Rancho San Diego Sheriff's Substation found the suspect in his driveway, where he reportedly shouted at officers and made more violent threats before retreating inside. There, he allegedly armed himself with a makeshift slingshot and hurled ball bearings at deputies before trying to escape through the backyard. A canine service dog subdued the suspect, who was booked into county jail on 8 counts of assault with a deadly weapon.
The American Association of Retired Persons is offering AARP Tax Aid, free tax preparation and online filing of tax returns for seniors, low-income residents, and others in need in the East County community. Tax sites will be open the week of February 2nd and continue until April 15th. The East County locations are the El Cajon Library, College Avenue Senior Center, La Mesa Adult Enrichment Center, and Edgemore Hospital in Santee. To make an appointment or get more information, you can visit aarp.org and click on the tax aid link at the bottom of the page. This is Miriam Raftery, reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ.
The United States Food and Drug Administration has issued a warning recommending that the public avoid powdered pure caffeine, especially bags sold over the internet. At least two young men who have used powdered caffeine have died, the FDA reports. A single teaspoon of pure caffeine is equal to the amount of caffeine in 25 cups of coffee. The products are essentially 100% caffeine, a powerful stimulant that can cause overdose even in very small amounts. It is virtually impossible to accurately measure powdered pure caffeine with common kitchen utensils, making it easy to consume a lethal amount accidentally, the FDA warns. Parents should be aware that products may be attractive to young people, such as students seeking to stay alert for exams at school. Symptoms of caffeine overdose can include rapid or dangerously erratic heartbeat, seizures, and death. Vomiting, diarrhea, stupor, and disorientation are also symptoms of caffeine toxicity. These symptoms are likely to be much more severe than those resulting from drinking too much coffee, tea, or other caffeinated beverages. High levels of caffeine can be particularly dangerous for those with heart conditions, but can be lethal to anyone. If you believe that you're having an adverse reaction related to powdered caffeine, seek immediate medical care. The FDA asks that you please report any adverse events with powdered pure caffeine or other highly caffeinated products by calling 240-402-2405. A blog by Mike Londa, director of the FDA's Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition, addresses how two tragic deaths highlight the dangers of powdered pure caffeine. Logan James Steiner, an 18-year-old high school senior prom king and athlete just days away from graduation, died in May at his Ohio home after taking powdered pure caffeine. He thought the powdered caffeine would be safer than energy drinks and healthier with less sugar and sodium, and he carefully measured the dosing, but died the very first time he mixed the powder with milk and consumed it. Weeks later, James Wade Sweat of Georgia, newly married and a recent graduate of the University of Alabama at Birmingham, died after being in a coma caused by his use of powdered pure caffeine. His heart started beating out of control and stopped within minutes after he consumed the powdered caffeine, his father has said. The industry maintains that the problem is with dosages and blames the deaths on misuse of the product. But two senators, Sherrod Brown of Ohio and Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, both Democrats, want to ban the products from being sold in the United States. The Center for Science and the Public Interest is also calling for a ban on powdered caffeine. Laura McCleary, an attorney with the center, says powdered caffeine is the most dangerous dietary supplement that's on the market today. This is Leon Thompson reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today we're going to be talking about the county's farm-to-school produce program and its successes in getting kids to eat healthy fruits and vegetables in our public schools. My first guest today is Juliana Arnett, and she is the Community Health Improvement Partners Director of Operations and Food Systems. She's been working with the county to implement this new system, and she's going to tell us about a brand new study that they've just finished. Juliana, welcome to the show.
Thank you. We're really excited to be here.
We'll also be speaking with Eric Larson, who is the Executive Director of the San Diego County Farm Bureau. Eric, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
We also have Jonna Jenkins, who is the Valley Center Pama Unified School District Director of Child Nutrition.
Thank you for inviting me.
And Jill Wittenberg from the La Mesa Spring Valley School District, who is the Director of Child Nutrition there.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Juliana, let's start with you. Tell me how the entire farm-to-school program got started, why the county was interested in this.
Sure. So I work with an organization called Community Health Improvement Partners, and the work that we really focus on is trying to assess and address our priority health needs here in San Diego County. For quite a few years, obesity has been a major concern both of our organization and many partners across San Diego County, including the county. And as such, we help facilitate the San Diego County Childhood Obesity Initiative. And really, our job is to engage as many sectors, as many partners listeners as possible in really creating a healthier environment that makes the healthy choice the easy choice. And we see farm to school as a very strategic component of reducing childhood obesity here in San Diego County.
Very good. Now, you just recently released the 2014 State of Farm to School Program report in San Diego County, which found that all 42 school districts in San Diego County participated in the survey this year. Now, of those 42 school districts, how many are actually participating in bringing farm-to-table fresh foods to our kids in the public schools?
We're really excited to see that more than half of San Diego County school districts are engaged in some type of farm-to-school activity. We judge farm-to-school based on 18 indicators that are in the report, so everything from promoting local foods within their cafeterias to sourcing product directly from a local grower or doing taste tests with local products. And 31 of the school districts were engaged in at least one activity. We have 7 school districts, including some of the names that you might expect, like San Diego Unified School District. They're doing 10 or more farm-to-school activities on a daily basis within their district.
Well, that's very exciting. Eric, tell me what kind of a difference this can make for local farmers. Certainly, the local agricultural industry has struggled a bit with urbanization. How much difference can this make for the growers here?
Yeah, this is an exciting program for the farmers, and it's funny. We come at it from a little bit different angles. So the agencies and the nonprofits working on the Farm to School Task Force, they're concerned about health and they're worried about childhood obesity.
Sure.
We're looking at it. We want to do anything we can to keep farmers in San Diego County and create opportunities for farmers. So that's where the common ground comes in.
Right. And that certainly means jobs. Every farmer out there is hiring pickers and, so forth.
It does mean jobs. It means a lot to the local economy. A lot of people don't understand how big agriculture is in San Diego County. We're the 16th largest farm economy amongst all counties in the United States. We have more small farmers and we have more organic farmers than any county in the United States.
Those are impressive numbers.
Traditionally, those farmers have been selling into the bulk wholesale market. And with the high price of water, the high price of land, and the high price of labor, it's getting very difficult to compete against especially foreign producers when you're just trying to sell by the ton.
Yeah.
But if you can find a local customer, cut down on the transportation costs, and perhaps get a little bit more money for your product because you are selling out local, mm-hmm. we think that's a real sweet spot. And
yeah.
So that's why we like to work with groups like the Farm to School Task Force to find good crops that these farmers can grow and learn what the school districts need, convey that information to the farmers, and so that they'll be willing and brave enough to try a new crop that they can then sell into the school district.
Wonderful.
Jill, I'd like to hear what the La Mesa Spring Valley District is doing to bring locally grown fresh farm foods to kids here in La Mesa Spring Valley School District.
Well, we started this in August, bringing in the Farm to School Task Force ideas and the farmers, fresh produce. We started with midnight plums, grapes. In October, we started with spaghetti squash, which was shredded, which was really fun to put on the salad bar and watch. November was persimmons, and most of my staff and a lot of the principals had never had a persimmon before. So not only are the children learning it, but a lot of the adults are too.
And what are the reactions you're getting from the kids? I know as a parent, it isn't always easy to get kids to eat vegetables. What do the kids think of this?
The children are really up for trying anything new. They are being told in class. The teachers are given information on each harvest of the month is what it's called, fresh item that comes from a farmer every month. So they're given where it's grown, the vitamins and minerals, how long it takes to grow, the different stages of growth, and the teachers are sharing with the kids. And then when the teachers bring the children to the cafeteria to eat, they point it out on the salad bar and help the children try something new on a Wednesday. Starting in January, we are starting a farm to school assembly, and it's a local farmer who will bring in all his produce. He sets it up outside in cases, and he gives the children farmer bucks. It looks like Monopoly money, and he puts prices on each case of the vegetables and fruit are sitting in the real cases. And the children go down the assembly line, and they get to purchase with these farmer bucks the produce that they want to take home and have their parents cook off. So it brings in the math curriculum, but it also allows the children to go shopping amongst all this fresh fruit just pulled from the farm.
What
and
fun.
To watch their faces, it's really incredible, and it's really fun. And it's a great way, again, to introduce teachers, principals, PTA to this new movement.
Jonna, what's happening up in the Valley Center Palma Unified School District?
Well, I'm part of Harvest of the Month at most of my sites out in Valley Center. And we also have a ranch area that's about 5 acres that is part of a classroom learning environment. Mm-hmm. That there's classes that go from two of the local elementary schools that plant and harvest. Well, not so much harvest, but they plant and maintain what they plant.
So the kids are growing their own food.
Right. Usually what happens is they plant around spring, and most of their harvest come up in the summer. So I hold their harvest till they come back to school in August so that they can see what they planted. So it's kind of fun. The first year was really exciting to see them see the fruits of their labor, so to speak. So that kind of got us started in the direction of being more serious about farm to school, garden to plate situations. Mm-hmm. And being a part of the task force, mm-hmm, gave me better resources to get more farm-to-school activities involved in Valley Center.
And you might even be training some future farmers there.
Or they may be training me.
Now, I understand that your district is carrying this even further, and you're looking at leasing some land for farming.
Right. I met 6 growers at the local produce show, and one did express interest in trying to lease some property with our district. So all I can do is connect the two, and hopefully it'll work out.
Juliana, what can you tell us about some of the other large school districts in East County? For example, I understand the Grossmont Union High School District was one of the early pioneers in this. What's going on over there?
There's a lot of good activity happening in East County and everywhere else in San Diego County. One of the things that we're seeing is we work really on the systematic level. So we're trying to build a very strong foundation so that once districts are ready, all the resources are available to them to really bring in the local produce and work with growers.
And you've made an update to the report on the Grossmont District. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, exactly. So Grossmont, we added them as a member. One of the things that we're working with districts across the county to do is to develop a local produce definition. And the reason for that is really so that when they're talking about they want local produce, they have something very specific that they're saying to their produce vendors and to growers so that they know this is really of importance to the school district and they know whether they're falling into that criteria or not. And so Grossmont Union is not only, they did adopt our old definition, but we revised it to make it stronger to support our San Diego economy and our San Diego growers. They've revised it recently. They'll be putting their procurement bid out to bid early 2015. So I was actually just writing them language yesterday that they could potentially put in there so that when they're working with their produce distributor, they know that they're getting San Diego County product and they know that their distributor and or produce growers are helping them meet their goals.
Very good. If there are parents out there and they want to look up whether their child's school district is providing healthy, locally grown foods, where can they get that information?
Well, if you turn to the front page of the report, you'll see a list of our Farm to School Task Force members.
That is the 2014 State of Farm to School in San Diego County report.
That is available on www.ourcommunityourkids.org.
Okay, and Eric, if a farmer or would-be farmer out there is listening, where can they go to get more information about how to sell produce into the local school districts?
Well, they can certainly call the Farm Bureau, and we'll connect them wherever it is, and we'll do a lot more than that. We're always trying to find plots of land for farmers and trying to make those connections where if a new farmer wants to get into the business, we'll help them learn the skills and the things that they need to get into the business and maybe even try to solicit and find spots and opportunities for them. And I was listening very intently here about the Valley Center School District has some land. So we're training farmers here in San Diego County, and sometimes our problem is actually getting them onto a plot of land because land is very, very expensive. But through the Farm Bureau, we're in the phone book, we're online. If they just Google San Diego County Farm Bureau, they'll get us. In San Diego County, with the kind of things that we grow, if you get 2, 3, 4 acres, there's probably a crop that you can grow that will meet those standards. You may only grow one item, but let's say you decide you want an acre of zucchini squash is a lot of squash. And so
it grows fast.
So if someone wants to do that kind of production, I think there's opportunities.
I do want to reiterate what Eric was saying, that there is a school district in San Diego County that can meet most of our growers' needs as far as markets go. We have 42 school districts. They range from large urban to rural, very small. We have a school district that has 32 students in it, or you have San Diego Unified that has 150,000. So these are very different scales that we're talking about. Eric is very right too. School districts are really looking for things that, you know, meet their standards. They can come in at their size. It's products that are easy to serve on their bars.
Yeah, for a well-stocked salad bar. So is there demand for anything other than produce right now, maybe eggs or honey or some other types of products?
We're starting to explore that. You know, one of the things I heard at the Let's Go Local Produce Showcase from directors like Jana was, well, maybe we can't get it behind the cafeteria at the moment, but I bet we could use it as a PTA fundraiser. And so that opens a lot of opportunity for San Diego growers. But at the same time, we also have schools that are beginning to procure meat that's raised in California, that's raised without antibiotics, a very high-end, high-quality product. And we're seeing it on the plates in districts like Oceanside, Sweetwater, and San Diego Unified.
Wonderful. And as a former nutrition editor myself, I certainly understand the importance of good nutrition for our children. It's interesting, you know, a generation ago, almost everyone grew up on a farm where their parents did, and today we have this entire generation of urban kids who, some of them don't know that a carrot comes out of the ground.
Yeah, it's really fun to see, and a lot more of the schools are having their own gardens, their own small patches of carrots and apple trees and peach trees and having actually assemblies right there in their garden to show the kids, this is what a carrot looks like. This is how an apple is grown. And it's really bringing the movement to the front page.
So, Juliana, back to you. What are some of the other East County school districts that are doing a lot with the farm to school program?
There's a lot of great things happening, as like you've heard, leaders like La Mesa Spring Valley, but we also have school districts like Cajon Valley School District. Their food service director there is a chef by training and is very dedicated to bringing in local product. He's in regular conversations with his produce distributor, encouraging him to bring in local product, calling it by name, who those farms are that he's looking for. He's also looking at getting kids more involved in the educational process of growing food, because he knows that when they're involved, that changes what they demand in the cafeteria. Lemon Grove School District, they've also done produce stands for parents after school hours. They're really engaged in school gardening at the moment, and they're really seeing a growth of interest in that area. They've also adopted the Harvest of the Month calendar like some of the other school districts and are really dedicated to bringing more local product in. And then I just got to go out to Lakeside a couple months back, and I'm really impressed. They just hired a chef. They're really working on going much more scratch. They're even looking at making their own bread products in 2015, and they have a Harvest of the Month calendar and are sitting down and having conversations with growers and trying to see, you know, where there's a match between their school district and local grower.
Well, that sounds delicious, and I'm getting hungry just listening to all of this. One more question, Juliana. I understand that the county's farm-to-table program isn't just limited to schools. What other kinds of institutions are you looking to bring farm-fresh produce out to?
Well, in addition to the San Diego County Farm to School Task Force, we also facilitate the Nutrition and Healthcare Leadership Team. And this is a collaboration of 19 different hospitals from across San Diego County that are looking to procure local and sustainable, healthful products. And so we have hospitals all around San Diego County that are working on not only bringing more local product in from our local produce growers, but they're also looking at sustainable meats and other health initiatives like reducing sugar-sweetened beverages in there. Hospital facilities and cafeterias. Cool.
That sounds great.
I'm sure patients will appreciate the idea of good-tasting, healthy hospital food. Well, I really appreciate you coming in today, and I want to thank all of you for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, Get trained to be a citizen journalist and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
This is a public service announcement from East County Magazine. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts provide important information about much more than wildfires. In these winter months, you can receive free alerts via email or Twitter on your mobile phone about emergencies such as flash floods, road closures, heavy snow, and other severe weather alerts, as well as wildfires, traffic reports, and more. You can sign up for this free public service at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Indians.
This is Miriam Raftery back for the second half of the East County Magazine show today. And next up, Leon Thompson and Rebecca Williamson are going to tell you about all the most exciting events coming up across East County in the next couple of weeks.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson. Bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County has events ranging from riding the rails at the Campo Railway Depot to dropping a line at the Santee Lakes Trout Reopener.
Plus, we'll have a preview of coming attractions, including the Martin Luther King Jr. Choir Concert in Lemon Grove, candle-making classes in Alpine, and a blast from the past when Herman's Hermits take stage at Issaquan.
So stay tuned for all these events and much, much more from East County Magazine. You can ride the rails aboard an old-time train and enjoy a scenic one-hour journey through the mountains of East County each Saturday and Sunday from January through June. Trains depart from the Campo Railway Depot at 11 a.m. and 2:30 p.m., so you can visit the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum and Living History Center. For details and ticket information, visit the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum website at prsm.org.
If you love to fish, you may want to mark your calendars for the Trout Reopener at Santee Lakes on January 10th and 11th, when the lakes will be stocked with 2,000 pounds of rainbow trout. Prizes will be awarded for the five biggest fish caught. There will also be a breakfast sponsored by the Lions Club, and prizes included fishing poles, tackle boxes, bicycles, camping gear, and fishing passes. For those lucky fishing folks who catch a 5-pound trout or larger, you will also be entered to the grand prize drawing for a flat-screen TV. For details, call SanteeLakes.com.
Now for a preview of coming attractions. The Alpine Mountain Empire Chamber of Commerce will hold its Hot Topics Business Breakfast on January 13th at 7:15 a.m. The breakfast takes place at the Alpine Library.
The legendary British rock band Herman's Hermits and its original lead singer Peter Noon will be performing two concerts on January 17th at Sequan's Live and Up Close Theater in El Cajon. Showtimes at 6:30 and 8 p.m. Noon's classic hits include I'm Into Something Good, Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter, I'm Henry VIII, I Am, and Can't You Hear My Heartbeat? Herman's Hermits sold over 60 million recordings, including 14 single hits and 7 albums that went gold. For concert tickets and details, visit sequan.com.
A Martin Luther King Jr. birthday concert will be held on Saturday, January 17th at 5 p.m. on Lemon Grove's Main Street Promenade, located at 3443 Main Street in Lemon Grove. The concert is a special feature of the Lemon Grove Live Concert Series and will feature the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Choir of San Diego Ensemble members. Admission is free.
Nature and landscape photographer Ernie and Katie Cowan will lead a Cactus and Canyons photo tour to explore some of the most scenic and secret places of Anza Borrego Desert State Park on Saturday, January 17th. This all-day hike runs from 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. The tour is designed for photographers to enhance your technique and transform landscape photography into works of art, not just snapshots. You'll visit narrow and winding slot canyons to learn proper exposure, lens selection, and composition in the morning, then visit other locations in the afternoon with a lunch stop at the local restaurant in Borrego Springs. The tour is open to all skill levels. For more information and tickets, visit theabf.org.
Mission Trails Regional Park offers free concerts in the Visitor Center Theater on Sundays at 3 p.m. The next performance will be by the Santee Community Chorus on January 18th.
A candle-making class for teens and tweens will be held at the Alpine Library on January 22nd at 3:30 p.m. The next day, January 23rd at 3:30 p.m., a candle-making class for adults will also be offered to help you light up your life.
Felix Cavalier's Rascals are coming to the Poway Center for the Performing Arts Foundation on Saturday, January 24th at 8 p.m. Felix Cavalier is best known as the keyboardist and lead singer of the 1960s Young Rascals, king of the blue-eyed soul and later pop and jazz fusion. The group later became the Rascals. Hits included Groovin', Good Lovin', A Beautiful Morning, and more. For tickets and details, you can visit powayarts.org.
A 90-year-old pipe organ has been restored at La Mesa's Central Congregational Church at 8360 Lemon Avenue in La Mesa, which will host a concert to celebrate completion of the restoration on Sunday, January 25th at 3 p.m. The concert will feature classical and sacred works by Bach, Mendelssohn, Franck, and Widor, performed by Robert Plimpton, resident organist at First United Methodist Church in San Diego. Plimpton has also performed weekly concert at Spreckles Pipe Organ in Balboa Park and has played with local orchestras as well as teaching at San Diego State University.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org. If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, attractions in San Diego's East County. Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
With the arrival of a new year, people make ambitious resolutions, and many of them, including my own, seem to focus on getting fit, losing weight, or just living a more active lifestyle. According to the website Statistic Brain, losing weight was the number one resolution made on January 1st last year. 62% of Americans make a resolution at least occasionally, but according to Forbes, only 8% of people achieve their New Year's resolutions. If you want to improve your odds of success, the County of San Diego has hundreds of activities throughout the year at a variety of skill and interest levels. Many of them are free or low cost, and they take place in locations all over the county. The San Diego County Library has over 350 health and fitness events in January alone. The library has an online calendar of events that lists all of them, searchable by location, date, and age group. Yoga, dance classes, Zumba, nutrition and cooking classes, meditation, and martial arts are just a few of the types of offerings at the library. All library events are completely free. San Diego County Parks and Recreation Department also has a wide range of activities for all ages. Hiking, sports leagues, equestrian opportunities, dance classes, yoga, and fitness boot camps are all offered at various county parks or community centers. The online parks activity guides list all the locations, times, and costs, if any, for all events. One of the most popular activities in the parks is hiking. There are miles of hiking, biking, or equestrian trails on the county's 30 parks and open space preserves. There are simple strolls along quiet streams for a leisurely hike, while experienced hikers looking for a challenge can hike rugged mountains and isolated valleys. San Diego County has one of the most diverse trail systems in the nation. Most of our trails are multi-use and have been designed to accommodate hikers, bikers, and horse riders. For more information, you can visit the parks website at sandiegocounty.gov/parks. This has been Ed Barena with a public service announcement from the County of San Diego.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
This is Miriam Raftery again with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ. Now we're going to replay for you a reel-to-reel interview with the High Tide Band that was recorded last year. And if one of the voices in there sounds just a little bit familiar, that's because Ed Barena, one of the band members interviewed back then, is now part of our broadcast team here on the East County Magazine show on KNSJ.
Welcome to Reel to Reel. Every show, we will bring you authentic, independent artists. I'm your host, Dean Bruce, and I sit down every show with a diverse group of musicians, not only digging deep into the grit of the music-making process, but also bringing to you the real stories of these real artists. This is Reel to Reel. Good evening, everyone. I'm your host, Dean Bruce. We're in studio tonight with High Tide. Say hello, everyone.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
So we got Blaze, Brian, Ed, Kale, Dave, Garrett, huge band in the studio, one of the biggest ones we've ever had. We're going to get right into it. Why don't you give me an idea of how you guys got started?
Originally, we jammed through some house party kind of influences where, you know, a guy's playing guitar, a guy's playing drums, and it's kind of randomly jammed together. And High Tide's been a fluid entity since the beginning, and we've come around to where we feel like we're poised to make some moves in the scene and stuff like that. We got an SDMA nomination just recently for our last album, so we're nice. Feeling good about that. And we're
the
just SDMAs ready.
Are coming up right around the corner, aren't they?
Yeah, next month.
Talk to me about the process that you go through making the music. You know, let's talk about Back for More, for example. How did you guys start that off? Do you do lyrics first and then the music? Do you do the music first, lyrics? And kind of walk me through that process.
It changes from track to track. High Tide's a very collaborative project. It always has been. So we've all kind of brought our influences in. It's very much my influence on that song. And so it's got this upbeat, major, quick guitar riff kind of thing happening. And it's really for my lady, you know, I love her. Shout out to my lady, Mavi.
You talked about Sublime. Obviously a musical influence. What other kind of bands are out there that you really are digging on that you kind of feel like you either draw from or want to be like?
Well, there's a lot of contemporary acts out there that are doing reggae, and they're doing it really well and doing it big, like Slightly Stupid, Revolution, bands like that, Iration. These are bands that really came from a lot of Hawaii vibes and with the California mix too, and we're strictly San Diego, so we like to throw our San Diego spin on everything.
Yeah, on that Revolution note, last year I actually toured with them. I was their backup horn player because their horn player was missing a lot of shows. So I filled in for about 3 months full-time playing sax, and while I was on the road with those guys, I learned a lot about the business aspect of it, which I kind of brought back to the band here. So that band is very focused, and
they're great guys, too.
Yeah, they're great guys. Awesome people, positive vibes, but very focused.
So you talk about bringing the business aspect into it, and it's a good point because making music is one thing. Anybody can get together and throw some people together and produce a song. It may not be a good song, but they can produce the song. But there is a business aspect to it. What do you think that you guys were missing?
Well, I think a big part of it was prior to going on the road of Evolution, all of our stuff was just recorded amongst friends in, you know, decent studios, good studios, but we didn't have a full-time producer backing us. And when I came back from the road, we had the opportunity to work with Ian Young. Of Tribal Seeds, yeah, who's an up-and-coming producer. I mean, a huge producer in the scene right now.
Roots musician, I believe.
Yes, Roots Musician Records.
.com. Check that out. They've got a lot of up-and-comers on there. Hyrie, she's nominated for SDMA. Gonzo from Beyond Eyesight records with them. You know, we're going to work continuously with Ian Young for sure. He's a great guy. you know, everybody's just really positive. It's such a positive scene to play reggae. We're really blessed.
Do you think that there's a point at which you stop being artists and you just are going through the motions? You know, you have an A&R guy, you've got a manager, you've got producers, you become a little sheltered, and the vibe, the positiveness of your message starts to dwindle because you're just trying to put music out there and get a paycheck?
Yeah, that can happen for sure. I mean, we're trying not to go that route. We're trying to keep the roots in there. That's why, you know, reggae has roots, and it's really important as reggae artists to not forget your roots. And that's why when I met Eric from Revolution, I was really stoked to see that he's a really down-to-earth guy, you know. And it's good to see that the people we look up to are really good people, and it just helps us to want to be good people as well and really push the music forward, you know, and ride the wave. You know, we're high tide. We want to ride that vibe, you know, every day.
Let's take a few minutes and listen to Eye for an Eye by High Tide. In studio with High Tide. If I'm looking for you out in the internet, where can I go to find you guys?
Well, if you want to hear us on internet radio, we're on Pandora, we're on Spotify. Just look for High Tide Reggae. We're all over YouTube. Our website is always getting updated. Brian always rocking the website stuff. He's really good with that stuff. HighTideReggae.com. Check us out online, and also Facebook.com/SDHighTide. And once again, HighTideReggae.com.
We're going to close out the show tonight with Misled Souls, and you guys are going to rock the house. I appreciate you guys being in tonight, taking the time, you know, spending a few minutes to sit down and talk with me. We've had a great time tonight in studio. High Tide, they definitely rock in the reggae scene with some positive music, positive vibes. And we're going to close it down with Misled Souls.
Misled soul, now keep the company. I misled soul, so no, misled soul. company of mine. Whoa, no, no, no.
Reel to Reel is recorded on location at San Diego Performance Academy with help of studio producer Dave Bramley, executive producer Jerry Dean, engineer Levi Wong. If you would like to appear on the show, check us out at www.reeltorealsessions.com, facebook.com/reeltorealsessions, or you can email us at info@reeltorealsessions.com. Title music provided by Look Up Here.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Monarch butterflies may warrant protection under the U.S. Endangered Species Act, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service states. Monarch populations have dropped up to 90% in the last 20 years due to a loss of milkweed plants that the butterflies need to lay their eggs and nourish caterpillars that emerge from cocoons. Loss of milkweed plants is linked to the increase of genetically engineered crops that are herbicide-resistant but kill native vegetation, including milkweed, conservation groups report. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife plans a year-long review to determine whether monarchs should be added to the list of federally protected species. A petition seeking endangered species status for monarchs was submitted by the Xerces Society. The annual migration of monarch butterflies from Canada and the eastern United States to Mexico, thousands of miles to the south, is one of nature's most dazzling spectacles. But the number of butterflies counted in the Mexico wintering grounds has fallen sharply, alarming wildlife experts. Logging and use of pesticides in monarch habitat along the Pacific coast and Mexico are also factors, as well as development that has destroyed habitat. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barrena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.